Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I remain Farley Malaris, and welcome to yet another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And I feel good today. I feel so good today. Even though the moon is 1711 Scorpio, where mine was when I was born. Yeah, that the topic is going to be having fun, period. So we're going to talk about the fact that so many people do not know how to have fun. So many people get caught up in their problems and their worries and their fears, and they just don't know how to party. Now we're not talking about going out and getting drugs and getting yourself insane. We are just talking about finding out what it is that makes you happy, which I will help you find today. We're also going to take a look at the vibrations of all the 12 signs, the positives and the negatives. So as we score our natal charts, we will decide and we will define exactly why some of us are not having a good time and why the rest of us are having a wonderful time. So this is going to be a good topic, especially to record, and especially if you don't think you're having as good a time as you could be having. Like Farley does every morning. Woke up, got the Nintendo out, made myself some orange juice with Tang in it. I found something really funny. There's a reason why the astronauts took Tang with them on the spacecraft. I mean, I know there's sugar in it, but the reason why they took the Tang with them is because it was developed to prevent them from getting sick. And you'll notice that everybody, a lot of people around you are having this dread virus. But I've been drinking my orange juice with my 3 teaspoons of Tang 2-3 times a day, and thank goodness, so far, knock on wood, right, Mom? I'm okay. I like it. I haven't drank Tang actually since I was a kid, but something, my higher self said, pick up some Tang and keep drinking it and keep taking your zinc and fortify that immunity system with plenty of vitamin C. And yep, suffice it to say, it works. Well, I know what it means to have a Scorpio moon. Marilyn, it is hot like a desert in here. Beads of sweat are pouring down my face. You're smiling, but it's, please turn on some cool air in here. See, KFOX turns the heater on and it all focuses on the control room, and then it's real difficult to channel when it's blazing heat in here. But anyway, I'll do the best I can. Okay. So anyway, part of this topic is having fun, Farley. So have a good time and try not to get too weird. Actually, when you go through things like I'm going through right now and your numbers get pressed, when you go through situations where, frankly, your life seems so weird or so tense or so uncentered, when you are dealing with emotions where you don't really know where they've come from and you're not really sure where you're going, when you feel like you're lost and you're lonely, when you're broke, when you're unemployed, when you feel frustrated because you're not successful enough or you're having problems getting along with your family or your friends or your children, when your creativity seems to be blocked, and when you just spend too much time alone, depressed, and irritable, and in the dumps, it doesn't really help any, you know? I know a lot of us out there have Scorpio in our charts, and frankly, I do believe that people with Scorpio in our charts sometimes like to be down. I know that sounds kind of strange, but it's just, there's something very mystical and occult and almost oriental about, ancient oriental, right? About having some Scorpio factors, because sometimes being quiet and in a pit does not feel too bad. I don't know if you agree with that. Maybe you might want to call up and disagree if you have Scorpio, but still, each and every sign has a particular vibration attached to it. And if you allow the negative side of the sacred meaning of each sign to get to you, then it could get you into a routine which actually is void of good vibrations, void of fun. And if you spend too many days in a row where you're not smiling and you're not happy and you're not having a good time, then that's when the machine starts to break down. I firmly believe that you can prevent disease and prevent health problems and prevent disabling illnesses depending on your attitude. I firmly believe that. And I do believe that people that sit around and they lollygag around with their lives and they just wallow in depression and negativity, They just make it worse. They compound it all. And I think the thing about this show and about Farley is that I serve at 12 noon. I try to serve as your friendly reminder. Because as bright and as chipper and as powerful as you all are, and you should all know about your godlike qualities, that's why I need to remind you, it's just sometimes I need to also remind you about having fun. Problem is that some people are so lost in their torment that they forgot how to have a good time. I'll give you an example. It's the person that goes to that salt mine every day in the office or in the factory or in that truck or on the counter in the restaurant or in that bar where they work. The doldrums of going there every day. It's that person that's trapped into a coffee and a cigarette and an alcohol cycle. They need the coffee in the morning, the cigarette during the day, and the booze at night. And your body, your vital organs are screaming, and your chakras are freaking out, right? And it's a person that's going through these cycles of life, these seven-year Saturn cycles, the Saturn return at prior to 30, prior to 60, and prior to 90 years old, the midlife crisis transit from 38 to 45, and just all kinds of strange transitions that we go through where we forget how to have a good time, or we're so wrapped up in our problems. Unprocessed love. How many people spend too much time in the course of a day worrying about and feeling bad about a relationship that just won't work? And I'm talking about people that are married to these people. Married or in a relationship, or they've broken up with them even, but they're still attached. And they feel bad about it. And they don't allow themselves to carry on their lives in a healthy state so they can create some newness. And so they can create some new beginnings. And so they can create some love potential and power potential in their lives. They won't let go. Oftentimes, I like to go back to acting the way I did when I was a kid. Because prior to hormones, right? Prior to puberty at around, well, for me, it was early, about 11 or 12. Life was really easy for me because it was just a matter of coming home from school, eating dinner, and then playing. And when I played, I went all out. I had all kinds of different types of things to do. My big thing when I played when I was a child was I was real imaginative. So I always got into all these great fantasies, these adventures where you're hiding around the basement and you're being chased by monsters and you have the sword and you're fighting and you're defending and you've got your friends and you're playing army and you're always winning battles or you're designing something on the table, you're building something, you've got the glue out and you've got all the plastic and the wood and everything. And so when I was a child, I found out that I was really creative. When the hormones started hitting, and when I found out that looking at little girls as an 11 or 12-year-old suddenly meant something different, more than just being a girl, something you should be frightened of or nervous about, suddenly I started to feel these vibes where I wanted to be close to them and hold them and kiss them and all those things that children go through when they go through puberty. And once you start developing yourself in childhood, the priorities change. No longer, when I was in puberty, it was no longer an issue to go down and involve myself in fantasy soap operas. I put the guns down and the toy soldiers down and the Monopoly set and all the games and the Erector set and the train and whatever. And what I was trying to deal with was this transition my body was going through and this new vibration, this new interest of being social and being involved, recreation with women and with people, adult things. And you know, it's just like, as we grow, I think we forget how much fun we had as children prior to before the hormonal complications came in. So sometimes when I find myself still wrapped up in hormonal matters, you know, whether it is because one is lonely because they lack the relationship or because you felt you missed the boat, because you either let go of a relationship that could have worked well or because someone didn't love you as much as they could have loved you, and you felt bad about that. I mean, like, I'm a Leo, so I can figure out a lot of reasons to feel bad, you know. So, but the point is that oftentimes you hear from people around you that are supposedly perfect. Why don't you grow up, Farley? Why don't you leave behind the childhood stuff? Why don't you act like an adult? Why don't you stop wearing the shirt tails and the shorts and the jackets and the plaid shirts and the tennies? And why don't you let go of that stuff and grow up? And I have been grown up. I have worn coat and tie to work, and I have let go of the shirt tails and the shorts and the tennies, and I've tried to be a grown adult. But you know what? It's tough. It's tough because you face up to situations that are really hard in such a way that if you get involved in the routine and the rigmarole of the coffee, cigarettes, alcohol syndrome, which so many people are wrapped up in, and oftentimes we add drugs to that, or at least pills, tranquilizers and such, to try to handle being an adult. That's supposed to be being an adult, waking up in the morning and drinking a whole pot of coffee, and then smoking a pack of cigarettes, then coming home and drinking the glass of wine so you can sleep, or having a few beers so you can rest, or taking a Valium or whatever, and that's being adult. Well, I don't do any of those things. I don't drink coffee, and I don't smoke cigarettes, and thank goodness I don't need to drink every day to go to sleep at night, and I don't take any pills, so I've been forced to deal with my emotions. And oftentimes what that means is reminding myself that every day is like an individual lifetime to me. It's like every single day to me is precious. Some people live in the past. Some people live in the future. There's some people out there that say, let's wait, let's wait, let's wait, let's wait. I was raised by a lot of people I knew and loved that are already long dead to live for the moment and enjoy and bask in each and every moment as it comes, each and every microsecond. And I was also taught to not to live in the past, to live in the now. Like, this is all it is. I remember once when I was helping my dad run his company, and a very dear friend, his name was Ray, and he was our factory supervisor. And this guy was the nicest guy you will ever meet in your whole life. I swear to you, of all the people I've ever known in my life, this guy's got to be in the top 1% of good souls. We're talking pure heart. It's true. He was stuck into the coffee and the cigarette syndrome. I think he lived on coffee and cigarettes. He was always stressed out, but he didn't really bother anybody about it. And one day he came in my office and he sat down and he said, you know what, Farley? He says, I think the people in the factory are good people. You know, I think you ought to consider giving them a raise or a benefit. And let me give you a list of a few of the people that I think deserve to make more money or at least to get a rise in promotion or something. I said, Ray, that sounds good. Let's try that. The second he left my office, it wasn't 40 seconds and he was dead. He had a cardiac arrest. He died just like that. Isn't it funny that he came in my office and sat there and showed no pain at all, no symptoms that he was having a heart problem at all, and he just shared some things with me about the company, the future of the company, and the main thing, the gist, was that he cared about the people that he worked with. You see, and each and every moment of that man was so precious. It was so important. Life was so important because it just so happens that that's the way things go. I've known people where I've talked to him 1 second, my friend Ken Schnell in college, and 30 minutes later, he was dead in a car wreck. I talked to my friend Ray Piggott, and 30 seconds later, he dies. I think too many of us are living in the past and living in the future and worried about the past and worried about the future and being hit so hard by these transits that we forget how to have a good time. We forget how to be a kid again, how to have fun, and how to laugh. I was watching Mama's Family yesterday, and she was on Family Feud in her show, and I just was cracking up. I was dying laughing. You know, I like that. If I can have a good belly laugh or get involved in a situation during the day that really makes me smile, then that's important. In fact, you know what? I arrange and direct my life to that end. Because Pluto is sitting on my Scorpio moon at 17, it's been a very intense transit. Because Uranus is 5 Capricorn, opposed my Venus till tomorrow, it's been a very strange transit. You know, it's like everybody wants to be my friend and not much else. You know, meanwhile, I'm looking for some comfort and some nurturing, but suddenly it's not around anymore. It's like there are reasons why, if I didn't know about astrology, I could be so down and depressed on an ongoing basis that my career and my whole lifestyle probably would change overnight and be gone. But because I am who I am, and because I feel lucky to be who I am able to learn and know what it takes for me to take that certain amount of the day and have a good time. You know, what some of you might have to do, because it's been so long since you've practiced having fun on a regular basis. And you know, I love this guy who wrote the book, You Cannot Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, Peter McWilliams. By the way, my good friend who's going to be on Oprah today, the guy who wrote You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, should definitely watch the show today. This guy is one of my heroes. John Roger and Peter McWilliams wrote the book. So they're also coming out with another book. But these are two people that I learned that my rule, my routine of having a good time is extremely important, especially when you feel like you're having a hard time. A lot of people, if not all of us, go through the loss of our parents or illness of our parents. A lot of us go through, if not all of us, the loss of relationships. The loss or the disappointment or frustration with careers. The loss or the disappointment or the death of friends and loved ones and pets. And you can wallow in this stuff if you want to. I know people out there who've lost their father, their mother's had a bypass. They have a heart problem in their 40s, right? And sometimes I say to myself, gosh, I hope they have enough time during the day that even though they are having hard times, they still remember how to return the vibration to its natural state and have some fun, too. Life was meant to be an enjoyment. Besides the fact there are 1 billion people out there that don't have any shelter right now, 1 billion homeless people in the world, we can sit there and wallow in that and all of our problems, or we can try exuding some confidence and some optimism and some happiness in the world and hope and pray to God that it spreads. Because I think that's the way we're going to offer salvation to the people and to this planet, by offering a positive vibration. That's why I spend a great part of my day doing funny things. I'll tell you, if you had a video camera on me, you would see me singing in my car, singing in the shower. I can't sing too much around other people because some people don't like my voice, but when I'm alone, I sing all the time. I whistle all the time. I picked that up from my dad, right? I love to see funny things or talk about funny things. I call people during the day that make me laugh, that I know will hit up with me on a positive note. How you doing, Farley? What happened today? I call some of my oldest friends back east in St. Louis, Steve, or in New Jersey, Michael, people I've known for 20, 30 years, and we laugh about the past constantly. You remember this? Remember that? Remember when we were doing this in 1974, doing that, you know? And it's just like to be able to restore the balance, which is what it's all about. Balance, the Libra ethic. If you allow the scales to tip too far to the dark side of your life, to the negative side, then look out, because some people find it difficult to ever recover the white side, the bright side, the funny side, the happy side. That's why I constantly have to return to the center, to the balance, every single day. Because if I don't, with my Scorpio moon, I will be lost, and I know that. Because that is one intense puppy to have. People out there that have Aries planets, they may be too worried about themselves. They may not like themselves as much as they could. My advice to you, if you have Aries planets, is lighten up on yourself. Learn to have fun with yourself. People out there that have Taurus planets in their chart, they may be too concerned with values, with money, with life situations, stability, assets, security, bills. Give yourself a break. The Taurus vibration, the balance on that is just being loving. It's just being loving and nourishing. I know a girl out there with Mars in Taurus. You know, up to this point, I thought people with Taurus planets, with the exception of Saturn, were always into hugging. Well, excuse me, I found somebody with some Taurus planets that does not like to hug. I thought, unbelievable. Well, 1 out of 1,000 is not bad, huh? But Taurus needs to be held and nurtured and nourished and hugged. So that might be something you might want to try to get used to feel comfortable with. The Gemini factor is intense because you can drive yourself crazy thinking about things. You can be your own worst enemy by thinking of the Murphy's Law that could happen in your life. The worst possible scenario. Forget that. Shut off the computer. Shut it down. Just keep it simple and have fun. The Cancer planets, so sensitive, so wrapped up in the past, so emotional, so moody, taking everything personal. It's best to just be loving and caring about yourself and others and keep it simple. The Leo planets, with their dignity, with their honor, with their ego, with the fact that they need so much love. They probably need too much love. If you're a Leo and you don't know how to have fun and love yourself, you could be in trouble. I say drop the ego, forget the honor, and just be happy with the simple things you have. Don't take anything for granted. The Virgo energy, obviously, is an energy that can get so wrapped up in detail analysis, compounded with what I call ridiculous ethics and morality. You know, obviously, people with Virgo planets in their chart can be so utterly Victorian that it would negate anything that would be 21st century at all. That's why so many people with Virgo planets do not have relationships because they always go back to those ethics that freak people out, hot and cold. When all you need to do, if you have Virgo energy, is learn how to serve. It's that simple. Service. The Libra force is so also simple because Libras sometimes live, people with Libra planets in their chart, Libra rising, they sometimes show a false sense of security, a phony hue or aura of happiness. They pretend everything's okay, when really the balance scales are drooping to the wrong side. Libra planet people would do best in just helping others be happy, and maybe it'll rub off on them. Scorpio, the most intense, is also the most erratic and the most extreme emotionally. If you have Scorpio planets, Scorpio rising, Scorpio moon, Venus, or Mars, give me a break. Now, the best thing you can do here is avoid worrying so much about your desires. I'm aware that you have tremendous emotional needs when you have Scorpio energy. Please don't feel bad if they're not fulfilled. Oh, right, it's like trying to tell a camel not to drink water, right, when he's been out in the desert for 2 years. But still, I think the best thing somebody with Scorpio energy can do is focus on that intense activity they know makes them feel good. Some of us like to read. Some of us like to plug in that game or that board game. Some of us like to be creative and draw or paint or sing or dance. So there's ways to take that Scorpio energy and turn it into something that's happy, that's fun, that's exciting. People with Sagittarius. So a lot of us have Sagittarius in our chart, and what we do is we cut ourselves off from the rest of the world. We're so damned independent that we think we don't need anybody. Then we discover after a while we're all alone. Jupiter and Sag, Sag moon, Sag rising, and we're so independent and we think we're so philosophical and so all-knowing that we find ourselves in a hole we can't get out of. Obviously, if you have Sag planets in your chart, with the exception of Saturn, which can be very depressing in Sagittarius, most Sagittarius factor people are the clowns of the zodiac, and they should know more about fun, happiness, and humor and comedy than anybody. Capricorn, like Virgo, can be extremely depressing, and many times we find the Capricorn energy is a martyr energy. The Capricorn energy oftentimes burns themselves out, overdoes it, worries about success and ambition, and wallows in the pain of failure, our fatalistic approach to life. And Capricorn vibration people with rising moon, Mars, Venus, they got the best darn sense of humor you'd ever hear. I mean, Capricorn being the polarity to Cancer, we're talking about some darned adorable and cute people here. That's why I love people with Capricorn energy. I just love them. Two of my best friends, Karis, the lady I work with, and Mike Rilski in Atlantic City, both have Capricorn moons, and they crack me up. Both of them. They don't know how much I chuckle when they start talking, when they start coming off the wall, especially when they're from the East Coast. Isn't that funny? You can take territorial zodiac signs and really have fun with it. But same with Aquarius. You know, Aquarius is so damn mental, it's frightening. You know, sometimes they are so hard to get close to, and they know it. And Aquarius is like, sometimes they're so directorial and managerial, it's like they want everything to be their way. And when things don't go right, they distance themselves from everything and everyone, and then they can feel so alone that one wonders if an Aquarius-type person with Mars or Moon or Rising or Sun sometimes is either totally happy or really, really depressed. Now, I've known people with Aquarius factor things to do some pretty weird, unpredictable stuff to shake up their apple carts of their lives. We're talking the downside. So Aquarians owe it to themselves to help others cheer up, too, and to also be creative with that mind to be happy. The Pisces can be the most self-destructive. It's frank. If you have Pisces energy, if you have Sagittarius, Virgo, or Gemini, the confusion alone can nuke you. We're talking China syndrome-type meltdown here. And the Piscean energy is the worst, because sometimes they're lethargic, or they're frightened, or they're inhibited, or they're hiding, or they're scared. Or they want to run, they're afraid to grab hold of life by the reins and take off. And the beauty about Pisces is you can find bliss with Piscean energy because you can look within your spirit. People with the Piscean energy have a better grasp on spiritual truth and spiritual growth than all the other vibrations in the zodiac. Just one final comment on this topic. If you don't know what it is that makes you happy, then it might be a good idea to sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper, or with a typewriter or a computer, and start a file or a journal called What Makes Me Happy, and start to sit down and think about it. If you want to think about something, if you want to worry about something, then let's try to figure out and zero in on what makes you happy. So when you have that time during the day, you can spend time every single day and practice being happy, and let's see if it doesn't change your whole life. And what's really terrible, what I think is really terrible, is when people are around other people that are trying to have a good time with them, and there's no reason why they're unhappy. It might be a PMS, could be some kind of emotional trauma or mental trauma they're not processed. But if you've ever been around somebody and you're having a good time, and all of a sudden they cop an attitude, and you're sitting there going, why are they being weird like this? Sometimes I think these people really do not know how to find happiness. So what the heck are you getting involved with them for? Good question. This is Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And my name is Farley Malaris, and this is a public-supported radio show. We've just gone 28 minutes commercial-free. And if you want to know what makes me happy, I'll tell you what makes me happy. It's knowing about the universe. It's having that metaphysical edge. It is understanding things like karma and reincarnation and astrology and the 12 vibrations, actually the 24 vibrations, two vibrations attached to each one of the sacred zodiacal signs. So that makes me happy because it's a knowingness. There are those that do not know, and then there are those that seek knowledge and do know. And that's what this show is dedicated to. This show is dedicated to seeking knowledge.